for Parshas Ki Teitzeh. The Torah tells us in this week's parasha that if a person is guilty of a sin and he comes in front of Beis Din, and after the entire process of inducing evidence, Vayon ben Hakos HaRosha V'Pilo HaShofet V'Yiko Lefanov K'deri Shaso B'Mispar Arba'im Yakenu, so he gets 39 lashes. Chazal say at the end of the Gemara Masech the Makis that in truth it's not 40. Kama Malkin also Arba'im Chaser Achas. And Chazal tried to pin this on the phrase Bim Mispar Arba'im, which means Minyan HaSamach L'Arba'im. So as if to say the Torah rounded it off to 40, but it's really 39. So the Gemara says in the name of Rava, Kama Tikshoy Shar Inshi. Look at the idiosyncrasy here. Kaimi Mekami Sefer Torah. They stand in front of a Sefer Torah. Velo Kaimi Mekami Gavaraba. But they will not stand in front of a great Talmud Chacham. Now let's look at this. Which is greater? The sanctity of the Sefer Torah or that of the Gavaraba? Well, Ilu the Sefer Torah Ksiv Arboim Yakenu. The Torah says 40. The Asra Bonon Batsru Lechada. They took it down one. So we see that the Kedusha and the status of a Talmud Chacham is that much greater than that of the Torah itself. A Pella of a Gemara, because the Gemara says the exact opposite in Masechta Kedusha. The Gemara in Masechta Kedusha wants to know, am I obligated to stand in front of a Sefer Torah? And the Gemara quoting Rabbi Chilkia says, Kal v'chomer. If we stand in front of those who study the Torah, and that's a requirement, Vadarta Pnei Zokin, then Miponel o Kolshkein, how much more so do we have to stand in front of the Sefer Torah? Meaning, anything that the Talmud Chacham has, he got it from the Torah. So the Torah is the source. Whatever he knows from the Torah. The Gemara is assuming, with this Kal v'chomer, that if you posit the sanctity of a Talmud Chacham against the sanctity of the Torah, the sanctity of a Talmud Chacham, which requires Amida, is relatively kal in comparison to the kavod that you have to have for a Sefer Torah, which is the highest level of Kedusha, which is Chomer. So if you stand up you're required to stand for a Talmud Chacham, how much more so do you have to stand for the Sefer Torah itself? The Sefer Torah is the source. That's the real Kedusha. So we see that the greater Kedusha is that of a Sefer Torah, otherwise the Kal v'chomer makes no sense. And yet Rava says that it would be idiosyncratic for someone to stand in front of a Sefer Torah and not in front of a Gavaraba, because the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Gavaraba, exceeds that of the sanctity of the Torah. So we have two sugyas, and they draw opposite conclusions. The sugya of Rava Masechta Makos is built on the predicate that the scholar has a greater sanctity and a greater cover than that of a Sefer Torah. And the proof is that he can reinterpret the Torah, and instead of 40, it's 39. The Gemara in Kiddushin postulates just the opposite, that if I know that you have to give cover to a Talmud Chacham, how much more so, how greater would it be of a demand to give a cover to the Sefer Torah, meaning that the Sefer Torah is a Kedusha which supersedes that of a Talmud Chacham. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? The Mishnah Lamelech, his name was Rav Yaakov Rosnas, about four centuries ago, a Sephardic Jew, one of the great giants of Sephardic Jewry. In addition to his Mishnah Lamelech, which is one of the greatest commentaries on the Rambam, he wrote another book called the Parshas Drachim. And in the Parshas Drachim, he addresses this question, and he quotes the Marit. The Marit belonged to a long scion of great scholars, and we're going back to the period of time between the Rishonim and the Achronim, probably the late Rishonim. And he says the following, if you read Rav's statement carefully at the end of the Gemara Makkos, he's not talking about a Talmud Chacham in the sort of standard Talmud Chacham profile. He's talking about a Gavra Rava. Herein lies the difference. The sanctity of a Gavra Rava exceeds that of a Sefer Torah, but not so in a Talmud Chacham who may know the Torah, but he's not on the level of Gavra Rava. Now, what is the difference between the two? What makes the Gavra Rava so great that now his Kedusha and his Kavod is that much beyond that of a Sefer Torah? Whereas, in the case of comparing a regular, let's call it rank and file Talmud Chacham to that of a Sefer Torah, the sanctity of the Sefer Torah is that much greater. So the Gemara in Kedusha makes sense because the Gemara is talking about a case of a Talmud Chacham, not a Gavra Rava. And in that context, if we have to stand up for Talmud Chacham, how much more so for the Sefer Torah? Why? Says the Ma'arit, because whatever the Talmud Chacham knows, he got it from the Torah. Again, there's a difference between Torah Shemachsav and Torah Shebal Peh, obviously. But fundamentally, the source of all of his knowledge and all of his sanctity is the Sefer Torah. So it makes sense that the Sefer Torah has a greater sanctity than the Talmud Chacham. But what makes a person into a Gavra Rava? Rav is describing a new category. Someone who's not just a Lomei Torah, a Talmud Chacham, but rather he's a Gavra Rava. The Gavra Rava, says the Ma'arit, is someone who, as a result of his Yegiya B'Torah, he is capable of clarifying halachos that are very profound, that are not necessarily explicit in the Torah. He can use his amkus, his depth of understanding, to come up with insights that are not in the Torah itself. Therefore, his kedusha goes beyond the Sefer Torah. If you're talking about a regular rank and file Talmud Chacham, anything that he knows, he gets from the Torah. So obviously the Torah and its sanctity is the source. And if you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, how much more so do you have to stand up for the Torah, which is the source? He's a baki, he knows a great deal, he's a Baal Shmuos, but his kavod at the end of the day is a reflection of the fact that he knows what it says in the Sefer Torah. So if you have to stand up for him, how much more so for the Sefer Torah? Rav is talking about a whole different level that's qualitatively different, not quantitatively, but qualitative. It's a whole different entity. He's talking about someone who could see things in Torah that are not really there. It says Arboim Yakenu, but he knows, based on the various drashos, that it means something more than that. It means 39. He reinterprets the Torah. And in that sense, he has the appellation, he's in a category of his own, he's the Gavra Rava. His sanctity is even greater than the Sefer Torah. Because there are things in the Sefer Torah that we cannot know, and he reveals them. How does he do so? Through his Yegiya B'Torah, he's able to be Mavar the Torah, to clarify it, go down to its depths, plummet to its Amkus, in things that are not written in the Torah. That's his koach of Pilpul HaTorah. That puts him in a qualitatively different category, such that his Kedusha now supersedes that of a Sefer Torah. And Hani Tipshoy, look how stupid are people who stand up for the Sefer Torah, and you've seen them, you know, they, when it comes to Sefer Torah, they, you know, they do all sorts of movements and motions and bows and everything else. But when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, in this case a Gavra Rava, who knows things in the Torah that you and I will never figure out, he reveals things from the depths of the Torah that you and I would not be aware of because of his great insight into the Torah and its creative ability through his Yegiya, how much more so should they be standing up for a Gavra Rava? So the Ma'arit says there's no stira between the two sugyas. Now what we would like to do today is study the insights of another Gavra Rava that will shed a light on everything that we've said until now, these two levels or categories of Talmidei Chachamim that are qualitatively different. Your Talmud Chacham who has Yediyas HaTorah, Bekiyas in Torah, and the Gavra Rava who's able to reinterpret the Torah. And who is the Gavur Rabbah that we want to study today? It's the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe. Not in his classic work, the Tanya, nor in his Shulchan Aruch, which is also a classic, but in his drushas. And we're going to study a drusha that the Baal HaTanya gave on the occasion of his own wedding. And he bases himself on a comment of the Medrash Rabbah in Sefer Dvarim. And he claims that if you compare the Medrash Rabbah in Dvarim with statements in Chazal about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Torah, and we'll quote a few of those, you'll find a head-on collision, a contradiction that has to be reconciled. In Dvarim Rabbah, Chazal postulate that God is the Chasan and Klal Yisrael the Kala, and the shtar that's being used to effectuate the marriage between the Chasan and the Kala is none other than the Torah itself. The Torah serves as the document, because you can be married a woman in one of three ways, one of which is shtar, through which the relationship, a marriage relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasan, and Klal Yisrael, the Kala, is forged, is clinched. And the Medrash wants to know, in the case of shtar, who has to agree to authorize the scribe, the sofer, to write the shtar, because the shtar kiddushin, like a shtar gerushin, has to be written lishma. And who has to pay the scribe, the what's called the schar sofer? Who has to pay the sofer his wages for writing the shtar kiddushin? So the Medrash says we're going to derive the answers to these questions from the original marriage. And the original marriage, which takes place at Matan Torah, is between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasan, and Knesset Yisrael, the Kala, and the Torah itself is the Ksav Kiddushin, is the Shtar Kiddushin. We need that not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu desire this marriage relationship, but we need that Klal Yisrael accept it, Nasa V'Nishma, so therefore the Shtar has to be written Midas Shneihem. So for example, if a man wants to marry a woman and he, and only he, authorizes the scribe to write the shtar, that's not enough. He's got to get the authorization, the sofer has to get the authorization for both the chasan and the kala. But then the Medrash wants to know who has to pay the scribe, meaning who has to own the shtar. And the Gemara and the Medrash tells us that it's the Chasan who pays for the shtar. How do we know this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid Moshe Rabbeinu to write the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the scribe to create the shtar kiddushin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him. Tekhsiv hayom HaShem Moshe lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar. The Medrash says v'kidashtem means there's going to be kiddushin. Umikasav shtar zeh, who would be in charge of writing the shtar, writing the Torah? Moshe. Minayin shem aviyotov Moshe satorah zos. Moshe, the Torah records, is the writer of the scribe of the Torah. Umaschar nosan lo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has the chasan now has to pay the scribe. That's Moshe Benu. He paid him off with ziv panim. Umoshe lo yoda kikaran or panav. That separate madrega of Kikaran or Panav was a gift, was in effect wages, a payment to Moshe Rabbeinu for being the scribe and writing the Torah. He told Moshe HaTorah Zos. We see clearly, and this is what we should write on the big board here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasan, Knesset Yisrael is the Kala, and the Shtar is the Torah itself. That's what we derive from the Medrash. But we have a slightly different conclusion when we open up the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara dashes the pasuk Torah tziva lanu Moshe marashaki les Yaakov al tikri morasha elam me'orasa. And based on this drasha, Chazal derived the conclusion that Klal Yisrael is the chasan, and the Torah itself is the kala. Did you hear that, my Rabbosai? Klal Yisrael is the chasan, and the Torah itself is the kala. And therefore, when the Torah says Morasha, which means Morasa, it means that there's an Erisin relationship, a marriage relationship between Knesset Yisrael, the chasan, and the Torah itself. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on this principle, derives the conclusion that if a guy studies the Torah, he usurps the Torah, which is ours, which is our beloved betrothed wife, then he's chayav misa ki'ilu ba'al eish esish. It's as if he had a relationship with a Jewish, with the Jewish nation's wife, which is the Torah itself. So let's understand once again the contradiction. Is it A or is it B? Is it A that Klal Yisrael are the Kala, or is it B that Klal Yisrael are the Chasan? Is it A that the Torah is the Shtar Kiddushin, which was used to forge the relationship, the marriage relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael? Or is it that the Torah itself is the Kala? Morashahi, Morasahi. This is the question that the Baal HaTanya raised at his wedding. And the reason it was appropriate for his wedding is because it's talking about a wedding relationship, not a marriage relationship between the Chas and the Kala in the strict biological material world, but the relation between the Chas and the Kala in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the Torah itself. In both cases, we're talking about a marriage relationship. But the stira is that in one case, Klal Yisrael is receiving the Torah, and they are the Kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chas. And in the second case, which is the Gemara in Brachos, Klal Yisrael play the role of the Chasan, and they are marrying the Torah. Morasha, al tikri morasha, ela morasa.
Who's marrying who? Again?
Which one?
Who's marrying who? The Torah is marrying...
No.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah to Klal Yisrael as a kala for the chasan. Meaning we, Bnei Yisrael, are the chasan. This is the Gemara in Brachos. And the Torah is the is the kala that's getting married. We are married to the Torah. Just like a husband marries a wife, Klal Yisrael marries the Torah. And that's called Ma'orasahi. Again, the pasuk says Ma'orasahi, but we read it as Ma'orasahi. She is the Ma'oreses. And if somebody usurps the Torah, meaning one of the nations of the world, he is basically having an adultery relationship with the Kala, because the Kala is married off to Klal Yisrael.
Where's the star in the second
exam? There is no star. Where is the Kesef Kiddushin? There is no Kesef Kiddushin.
What kind of Kiddushin is that?
I don't know. But what I do know is that the Torah is called Tol the Kala.
Yeah, that's also a Kishbarko, that's not the other one.
No, it could say that.
So let's take a look at the answer of the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya claims that the answer to this question, to resolve the seeming contradiction between the Medrash and the Gemara, lies in a very basic principle, which is formulated by the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says in Pesachim, describing Rav Sheshes, that he would review his studies every 30 days, and then he would stand at the door and he would make a declaration. What was his declaration? He was talking to himself. Now, you and I know that people who talk to themselves... Well, today you see people on the streets, and maybe they're talking to themselves, I don't know. But, you know, with all the different kinds of technologies today, You never know if they're talking to themselves or they put on a facade as if they're talking on the phone. So you can talk to yourself today and nobody will know the difference. But Rav Sheshis is talking to himself. You might say in Freudian terms, he's a schizophrenic. He's talking to his own nefesh. And he says to his nefesh, wow, we learned the Torah. 30 days, we covered so much. Tismechi nafshi, my nefesh should be enjoyed. Tismechi nafshi, he repeats himself twice. Loch karoi, loch tanoi. Loch, says Rashi, means bishvilech. For you, my nefesh, shanisi vikarisi. In other words, the study of Torah is the greatest tool to inspire and to uplift the nefesh. Rav Sheshis declares, talking to his nefesh, all this Torah that I learned, that I studied, it was for you, because the nefesh is uplifted by the Torah. The clear-cut conclusion that we have to derive from this Gemara Psachim is that what motivates a person to study Torah is for the purpose of his nefesh. His spiritual soul needs the Torah. His spiritual soul is only chomer gelim, it's only potential to transform his nefesh into something great, to perfect it and uplift it. The person has to study Torah. The study of Torah, therefore, is for the nefesh, to perfect the nefesh. However, the Gemara is not happy about that. Is that the purpose of studying Torah? There's a purpose that goes even beyond your nefesh. And that means you are fulfilling God's will to keep the world going. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Il Mole Torah, without Torah, Lo Niskaimu Shamayim Varetz. Nothing in this universe could be maintained, could exist. Shenemar, Im Lo Brisi, Yom Avolayla, Chuko Shamayim Varetz Lo Samti. So the Gemara says, how could Rav Sheshes turn to his nefesh and say to his nefesh, you know why I study Torah? Because of you. You should be studying Torah because that's the key to fulfilling God's will in the entire creation. And without Esek HaTorah, there is no world, there is no universe, nothing exists. Chuka Shamayim V'aretz Lo Samti. And by the way, based on this pasuk, which is the pasuk of Yirmiyah, the minig was in Valajin. Reb Chaim instituted a minig that 24/7 there was always some learning going on in the Beis Medrash. Why? Because the pasuk says in Lo Brisi, which is a reference to Torah, Yomam V'Laila. There's got to be a constant, non-stop dedication to the Torah study. So you used to take, you know, turns, rotations, who would sleep when. Because otherwise, the world would go down, would revert back to non-existence, back to Tohu. So we need, in order to achieve God's will of Shamayim V'aretz Lo Samti, God wants this universe to maintain its existence, we need to study Torah. So don't tell me, Rav Sheshes, that you're studying Torah for the benefit of your nefesh. So the Gemara reconciles. Meikara, in his first stage of Torah study, Ki Ovid Inish Adaiti the Nafshe Ka Ovid. When he learns, dedicates himself to the Torah studies for the sake of his nefesh. But once he has perfected his nefesh and he got to a certain level, now he can strive for a higher level and study Torah because Chuko Shamayim Lo Samti. Says the Baal HaTanya, when a person starts in his early stages of Esek HaTorah, and his motivation is L'takin Es Nafsho, L'halos Es Nafsho, to connect his nefesh with the Borei, with the Creator, once he gets to that point, He has achieved that tikkun. Bingo! His nefesh is now connected, is elevated, connected to the borei. Now he takes on a different track. Now his motivation to study Torah has to be a different one. It's on a higher level. It's a pure lishma. It's for the sake of Torah, not for the sake of his nefesh. And let's read the beautiful words of the Baal HaTanya. This is the closest we can get to participating in his wedding. Ubaze yuvan, mashelefamim amru shatora nikres meurasa. What does it mean that at some point the Torah becomes meurasa? It becomes married to the person who studies it, and the student of the Torah is now called the chassan. Pa'amim, other places you'll find the chazal, as we saw, based on the Gemara in Brachos, it means lehepach. Yom chasunasa matan Torah. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zohar says, and Orais is one, that's the chasun, and we are the kala. What's going on over here? Who's marrying who? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah marrying Klal Yisrael and the Torah becomes the Shtar Kedushin, or the opposite? The Chasson is Klal Yisrael is marrying off the Torah. Shneim em emes. The answer is they're both correct. There's no contradiction. When he's at the early stage of his learning, that's called Meikara. His purpose is Latikun HaNefesh. The Torah therefore is the Chasson, because the Torah holds the keys to his ability to uplift the nefesh. So at this point, the Lomed HaTorah is totally dependent. He's desperate for the Torah. The Torah has to do what it has to do. And at this point, the nefesh is what we call a mekabeles. Mekabeles means passive recipient. So the Torah is the active agent, and Rav Sheshes turns to his nefesh and says, I studied Torah so that the Torah can impact upon you and elevate you. You are the passive recipient, the Torah is the active giver, the active mashpia. From that perspective, we understand very well what the Gemara what the Medrash says, that Klal Yisrael is the Kala. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael is the Kala? It means that the Torah that Hashem gives to Klal Yisrael to solidify this marriage, that Torah is going to be the active agent. And that Torah is going to influence. Is everybody okay with me?
Yes.
That Torah is going to influence the nefesh. So the nefesh again is the passive recipient. The Torah is the active chasan here. That's mashpia on the kala. The kala is mekabelas. That's in the first stage. That's when a person early in his learning, like Rav Sheshes, addresses his nefesh and says, "I'm giving the Torah to you," meaning that the Torah should influence you. You are the kala. The Torah is the chasan. But kshu lomed lishma, when he gets to the higher level, at that point, it's the exact opposite. Klal Yisrael is the chasan, and Klal Yisrael now has an impact on the Torah. The Torah now becomes passive. Wow, this is unbelievable. According to Baal HaTanya, if you ask me the question, is the Torah the active agent, and we are the kala that are influenced, or is Klal Yisrael the active agent, and we are the chasan, and the Torah is the kala, being influenced by the Torah? And the answer is, it all depends at what level we're talking about. If we're talking about the first level, which we call the Olam Yasok Adam B'Torah Mitzvah Safal Pi Shalolishma, here it's Shalolishma. At this level, at the beginning of one's career in Torah, the purpose of Torah, the motivation for Torah, is tikkun hanefesh. So the Torah is going to be the active agent, and it's going to influence the nefesh, until finally the nefesh reaches a level in which it, so to speak, is independent, meaning that now the nefesh is totally connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's been uplifted, and now we shift gears. And at this point, Torah Lishma takes over. And Torah Lishma means that my Torah is being studied for the purpose of the Torah. I now become the active agent, and we'll exactly see how in a minute, and I influence the Torah. This corresponds to the dichotomy, the two levels of Gabba Rabba. In other words, which Kiddush is greater? The Torah or the student of Torah? And the answer is it depends. Early in the career, the Torah is going to be greater. Why? Because the Torah is the chasan that is influencing the nefesh. And as Rav Sheshe says early in his career, I study the Torah for your sake, the nefesh, in order to uplift the nefesh. That's the early stage. Here, certainly, the Torah has a greater sanctity than the knower of Torah. You may know the Torah, but you're not greater than the Torah. All your knowledge comes from the Torah. The Torah is mashpia on you and carves out your nefesh. But then we get to a whole new level, which the Baal Tanya identifies as Torah Lishma. This is the level of Rava. This is the level in which the Torah becomes the Kala. We become the Chasan. That's the Gabba Rabba. The Gabba Rabba is mashpia on the Torah. He has the ability to expand the Torah, embellish the Torah, interpret the Torah. It doesn't mean our boim yakeru, it means shloshim v'teisha, lamentes. That is the great authority of a Gavra Rabba whose sanctity supersedes that of the Torah itself, because he is mashpia on the Torah. And this reflects itself in another statement of Rava. In Masecht Avodah Zarah, Amar Rava b'tchila, when a person starts his learning, his career, Nikreis HaTorah al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what it means, B'Torah Hashem Cheftzo, it's God's Torah. But Ulubasov, when a person achieves the high pinnacle of his understanding of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, then it's B'Toraso Yegeh, it becomes his Torah. The Torah is now considered his Torah. It's no longer HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, it's his Torah. And if this be the case, Rabbi said, we want to study the additional embellishment of the words of the Baal Tanya from the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shover. And the Sukkot Shover adds the following to the Baal Tanya. He says, Kishemachadish Chidushei Torah. What does it mean that he gets to the level of Torah Lishma, and at this point the Torah turns into the Chasan, turns into the Kala, I meant to say. That's a Talmud Chacham who's being Mechadish Chidushei Torah. At that point, he lights up the Torah with his insight and his depth of understanding. Now the Torah takes on new meaning. That's called the Torah Lishma. He now has Ashpa on the Torah itself. He has revealed new Asagos, deeper meanings and layers that were hidden in the Torah itself. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, Nira Lishal Zen knows to stay brachos. We recite two brachos in the morning. One ends with Hamalame Torah Liamo Yisrael. God, you are great because you are like the father who teaches his son Torah. And that's based on the Midrashim that say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the second bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Noseina Torah, means that you have given us the Torah. The Torah is now Me'urasol Yisrael. The Torah is now the Kala who's betrothed by the people of Israel. And again, Rabbo say this works on both a national level and a personal subjective level, individual level. So when we get to the point where a Talmud Chacham is Hogeh B'Torah, he is so dedicated to the Torah that he reveals its deeper meanings. He understands the Torah beyond the Torah itself, if you will. He has the koach of being mecharish chidushei Torah to interpret the Torah levarer ulelavein to be totally omkom. He now is going to have an impact on the Torah. He's the gavur rabba. He's being mashpi on the Torah, expanding the Torah, embellishing it. But if you talk about a Talmud Chacham in the early stage of his learning, he doesn't have the koach, he doesn't have the ability to be mashpia on the Torah and be mechadish chidushim. Torah for him is the chasan that's mashpia on him and is going to elevate and cleanse and purify his nefesh. And in this context, the Talmud Chacham is considered a makabel. He's like the kala. He receives the Torah and its impact, which will fine-tune his nefesh and upgrade his nefesh. A Talmud Chacham who gets to the highest level that he can be mechadish chidushim based on havonas dover mitok dover, he's the mashpia on the Torah. He gives new chachma, new seichel, new insight into the Torah, things that weren't revealed. Just 1 second, okay. So let's summarize two mahalchim which are really the same, both of which are coming respectively to reconcile what we think is an apparent contradiction. We had an apparent contradiction between two sugyas in Shas, the Gemara at the end of Makkos and the Gemara in Kiddushin, as to which sanctity is greater, that of a Talmud Chacham or that of a Sefer Torah. And we're going to reconcile that, says the Balatanya. I'm sorry, says the Marit. Cross that out. The Marit, in differentiating between Rava's Gavarab at the end of Marcus, who can reinterpret the Torah, and it's not 40 lashes, but 39 lashes. His sanctity supersedes that of the Torah. As opposed to the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is addressing a regular Talmud Chacham who may be a great baki and he knows the Torah and you can test him on all areas of Torah knowledge, but he hasn't yet gotten to the madrega of a gavur rabba who could interpret the Torah through his unique insights and reveal things in the Torah that are not there. For him, the Sefer Torah becomes the source of his knowledge and his Kiddusha is secondary to that of a Sefer Torah. Hence the Gemara says if you stand up for Talmud Chacham, much more so do you have to stand up for the Torah. And now we're going to reconcile two contradictory statements in Chazal with a similar Mahalach, and that is the Medrash which assumes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasan, Klal Yisrael is the Kala, and the Torah is going to be that gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Klal Yisrael to clinch the wedding. Whereas, we have another statement in Chazal, which is a Gemara in Brachos, that indicates just the opposite. That Klal Yisrael is not the Kala, but that Klal Yisrael is the Chasan, and the Torah is Mureses, the Torah is the Kala. And here the Baal HaTanya steps up to the plate, and he reconciles this by saying, since we have a Gemara of Rav Sheshes in Psachim, and Rav Sheshes, the Gemara concludes, in his early stage of learning, is learning for the sake of his nefesh, to improve his nefesh. It means that the Torah is the mashpia, the Torah is the chasan, and Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah is the kala. In contrast, to the Chazal, let's say that the Torah is mureses, and Klal Yisrael is the chasan. That's a different level. That's our Rav Sheshes at the beginning of his Torah studies. That's Rav Sheshes later on when he studies Lishma as a Gavur Rabba and he interprets the Torah and reinterprets the Torah and embellishes with Chidushei Torah and new insights. That's the great level of a Chasan who converts the Torah, transforms the Torah into a Kala, because now the Torah is the Mushpa. The Torah is the Mekabeles because of the Hashpa, the influence of the Gavur Rabba, who is now reinterpreting the Torah. So we have the same Mahalach, L'yashev Shtei Stiros. And the truth is that these two levels of Torah study really represent or reflect Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. In the case of Torah Shebichsav, the entire Torah is a given. But in the case of Torah Shebaal Peh, here's where you need Yegiyah and Amelus in order to interpret the Torah. And he writes here, if you happen to have the text in front of you, for those who might be interested, in the middle column on page 2 on the bottom, he says, Beis Bechinos Elohim Be'etzim Torah Shebaal Peh Torah Shebaal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmits the Torah Shebichsav as a gift through Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to add anything to the Torah, subtract anything, not even a Kutso Shel Yud. Kutso Shel Yud, what it means is the Torah is the absolute source and you can't tamper with it. In that context, the student of Torah is the Kala. He has to receive everything from the Torah. However, when we get to Torah Shebaal Peh that was given to Klal Yisrael so that they would interpret the Torah through the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, they should be Mechadish Chidushei Torah. My Rebbe writes an essay called Halachic Man. Half of the essay is about one theme, and that is the importance to be Mechadish Chidushei Torah, new insights into Torah. That's already the level of a Gavarabah, that's represented by the Torah Shebaal Peh, where we are going beyond the Torah Shebichsav. We are being Megala, new insights into the Torah. Now, the Talmud Chacham becomes a Chassan, and he has an influence on the Torah itself. The Torah itself now becomes the Mureses, becomes the Kala HaMekabeles. And if this be the case, let's go on to page 3. At the bottom of page 2, he summarizes everything that we said already. And we're going to study now the relationship on a symbolic level between the Klaf and the Osios. Every Sefer Torah is made up of two parts. And one part, of course, is the Klaf. The Klaf is considered, is called Lavan, it's white. And then we have on top of the klaf, the dio, the osios, which are written in black. So we have black on top of white. And the Medrash says in the name of Reish Lakish HaTorah, Shenitna leMoshe, Ora shal eish levana uksuva b'eish shchora. There is an integration here of two fires. One fire is the fire that's white, and the other, the fire that's black. So Rashi adds a very important point here. Where is it? Just one second. Okay, I'm not finding the Rashi right now, but anyway, this is the statement of Reish Lakish. So we want to understand on a deeper level, what is this white fire and what is this black fire? The white fire, it corresponds to the parchment of the Torah. That's the klaf lavan. And that really is where it all begins. That's what we call the roots of the Torah. But now, we add to the Torah, we add to the klaf lavan, dio shachar, which is representative symbolically of the esh shchora, the black fire. What is the deeper meaning of these two parts of the Sefer Torah? Of these two fires, if you will, which make up the enterprise of Torah? And we're going to study now a piece from the Kedushas HaLevi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ben Berdichev. He bases himself on a pasuk in Yeshayah. The pasuk is very strange. It says, Ki Torah me'iti teitze. And Chazal say in the Medrash that means that Liosid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will grant Chidushei Torah. And that's what it means, Ki HaTorah Me'iti Teitze. Now again, you know, one of the fundamentals of our belief is that the Torah will never change. The Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu is the eternal Torah, Velote Muchlefes in Torah Acheres. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Torah Chadosha Me'iti Teitze. How can you understand Torah Chadosha Me'iti Teitze? What do you mean a Torah Chadosha? There's only one Torah, it's the eternal Torah. But the answer is the following. There's a fundamental difference between the Osiel Shchoros that make up the letters of the Torah, the Eish Chora, as opposed to the Klaf Lavan, which represents the Eish Levana. The Eish Chora is something that's crystal clear to everyone. It's accessible to everyone. You can see the letters of the Torah. The white part of the parchment, however, which is called the Eish Levana, it doesn't have any osios. Nothing can be seen by the eye. That represents the Ara Torah. That represents the source of the Torah. And it is so profound that it cannot be expressed in osios. Once you express something in osios, then it becomes limited. It becomes finite. But now we're talking about something that's infinite. And that is the Loven, or the Eish Levana of Torah, the parchment of the Torah. What it means, Torah Chadosha Me'iti Teitze, which Chazal interpret as Chidushei Torah Me'iti Teitze, it means that there's going to be a revelation in the future of the Lavan of Torah, not the Osios HaShchoros, because that's crystal clear to everyone, but rather the Shoresh, the roots of the Torah, the basic principles that underlie the Torah. These principles are called Eish Levana. They are represented by the Klaf Lavan. And there's no Osios, so there's no way you can restrict it or make it finite. This is the infinite source of the Torah itself. And in the future, God is going to give us access to that part of Torah, which is the Chidushei Torah, which is something that's not written in the Osios. You can't find it in the letters of the Torah. It's a Amkus that goes beyond that. It goes into the Shoresh itself in an infinite Torah that's represented by the Klaf Lavan, the Eish Levana Shel Torah. Omar Rabbi Chelbo, the Gemara in Moikon, Haroah Sefer Torah Shenikra, if he's a witness to the destruction of a Sefer Torah, Chayav Lekroa Shtei Krios. It's not enough that he does one Kri, he has to do two. Echad al Agvil v'Echad al Aksav. One is on the parchment, and the other is on the Osios HaTorah. Because the Torah is made up of these two dimensions. The Eish Chora, which is the Osios, that's crystal clear, that's objective, it's accessible to everyone. And the Eish Levana, which is symbolically represented by the Klaf Lavan, and that are those the esoteric, divine, infinite concepts of the Torah are embodied in the Eish Levana, or if you will, the Klaf Lavan of the Torah. And now if the Torah goes up in smoke, Chas V'Shalom, you have to cut two Kriyos. One Kriya for the Osios, and another Kriya for the Loven, for the Klaf itself. Now we know that there's a concept called Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Chachma, which is infinite. And yet somehow, miraculously, supernaturally, we end up with the Torah. The Torah is a representative of God's Chachma. The only problem is that God's Chachma is infinite. So how can you take the infinite knowledge of God and express it or manifest it in the Torah when the Torah is restricted, the Torah is limited? But the answer is no. There's one dimension of the Torah that's limited. That's the objective, clear-cut, Osios HaTorah, which is Eish Chora. That's finite. But there's something infinite about the Torah. And that is the Lavan Shel Torah, the Shoresh of Torah. And the integration of these two together form the Sefer Torah, which is Eish Chora al-Gabi Eish Levana. God's knowledge, his understanding and his wisdom is infinite. But as far as the Osios HaTorah, which is accessible to everyone, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzamtzem, which literally means he contracts his infinity in order to give it expression in a manifestation in a finite Osios HaTorah of Shachar HaGabi Lama. Now Rabosai, philosophically, this is a very difficult concept, to take something that's infinite, that's endless, and through a process called tzimtzum, to contract that which is infinite and place it into something finite. The philosophy I can't explain. But I understand the bottom line. The bottom line is that God's chachma, which is embodied in the Torah, is an infinite chachma. And if you don't introduce some sort of a tzimtzum, how do we end up with the osios haTorah? The osios haTorah are restricted, are limited, they're finite. Maybe there's 600,000. Maybe the Torah is embodied in six Sidre Mishnah. Perhaps the Torah is restricted to 613 mitzvahs. But we asid Torah chadasha me'iti teitze. At the end of time, we're going to have some sort of an access to the lovan of Torah, to tap into that part of Torah that's absolutely infinite, which in the osios is because of tzimtzum. Says the Baal HaTanya, this is on the top left of page 3, the Afta HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Ein Sof, even though God is infinite, but it came Beretzono that it was the Ratzon Hashem that His Chachma, which is called Ein Cheker L'Tvunos, it's endless, should somehow be contracted into and manifest in the Sefer Torah. But which part of the Sefer Torah? Where was the Tzimtzum? God took His infinite will, His infinite wisdom, He was mitzavtzimit into the Torah of Tariq Mitzvahs, of the Halachas, of the various osios in the Torah. But that's all finite, that's all limited. And that could only be achieved through Tzimtzum. Bechdesha kol neshama, God's purpose was to make His chachma accessible to every single neshama, ruach, and nefesh, to every Adam. And the Torah is considered like mayim, it goes from a very high place down to a low place. The Torah came from a very high place, which is the infinite wisdom of God up in Shamayim, and it came down through Midas HaTzimtzum to our Torah by restricting, contracting the Torah. Yarda b'seisar amadregos, but there's still the Eish Levana. What we see in the Osios is the Eish Chora, that's the finite manifestation of God's Chachma, but there is a Klaf Levan, which represents the Eish Levana, and the Eish Levana represents the ultimate knowledge of God, which is less machshavat tfisabe, which we cannot comprehend. However, bi'olam hazeh, even though yefshal lahasig Eish Levana, but nevertheless, li'olam haba, somehow there's going to be a Torah chadasha me'iti. And that midas hatzimtzum, which restricts and constricts the Torah into the Eish Shchora of the osios haTorah, the Dio, that is going to be lifted. That restriction is going to be lifted. And there's going to be an access to the Eish Levana, which means the source and the root of Chachmas haTorah before Tzimtzum, which is the absolute infinite Torah. So according to the Kedusha Levi, we have a lot to anticipate for the end of days, because HaKadosh Baruch is going to reveal new parts of the Torah. Bosai, one of the most important principles in the philosophy of Chassidus is that the root of all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael is the Torah itself. And Roy Lachkar, are there neshamas that still have a connection, even after they enter into this world, to the Eish Levana? Our neshamas have an achiza, have a grasp, an insight into the Eish Chora, the Osios haTorah after Tzimtzum. But are they neshamas that even after they came down to this world, they still have an achiza? They have some sort of a possession or connection to the Eish Levana, which precedes the Osios haTorah, and it's the infinite Torah before Tzimtzum. And here's where we discuss Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, and the Chachmei HaMesorah. Every generation from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina Ravashi is another link in the glorious tradition and transmission of the Torah, Mesiras HaTorah. These were the manhigim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, so these were the Mosei Torah. And they strengthened the foundations of the Torah. They were the ones who made fences around the Torah. They are responsible for holding and preserving the Shoresh HaTorah, the roots of the Torah. And they have access to the letters of the Torah that are gnuzos, that are hidden and invisible in the Eish Levana. The Eish Levana represents an Eish that is Lamala mi'Eish Chora. They, these Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Mesorah, had the capacity to reveal unbelievable chidushim in the Torah itself. And why? Because we don't have access to these chidushim. Our run-of-the-mill Talmud Chacham is access only to the osios hashchoros of the Torah, which is, after Tzimtzum, is limited, is finite. But there are those Chachmei Yisrael from Moshe Rabbeinu and on through the generations who have the access to the osios genuzos, which represents the Eish HaLevana, which is an infinite Torah. And because of their access, of their connection to the Eish Levana, they are able to expand the Eish HaShchora. They are able to have hashpa on the Torah itself. They can impact on the Torah. They are the chasan, and now the Torah becomes a passive mekabelas tekala. Now every Jew, Basher Husham, no matter what level he's at, has to be davuk v'kosher with Chachmei Yisrael. And that's the great mitzvah of Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Here, we see the Sefer Torah, and we say the Sefer Torah is the Chasan. The Sefer Torah is going to be mashpia on Kol Echad V'Echad MiYisrael. But we have to understand that there's no existence to the Osios HaTorah, the Osios Shchoros, unless there's a Klaf Lavan. The Osios HaTorah has to be inscribed on the Klaf Lavan. And so too, there is no Metzius to Klal Yisrael unless they are connected with Talmidei Chacham and with Chachmei Yisrael. It is through that connection that they receive the chius, because again, there is no chius to osios shchoros without a klaf lavan. Who is the klaf lavan? Who is the absolute personification of knowledge of the ksav lavan? It's the Chachmei Yisrael of all generations, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu. They are holding on to the klaf lavan, which is a remez, as we said before, to the Eish Levana, which is above the letters of the Torah. And every single Jew has to be connected and davuk in Talmidei Chachamim. And there are many different ways in which that can be achieved, but primarily through Shimush Talmidei Chacham. I don't mean serving him a cup of tea, I mean getting close to him and knowing his thought patterns and understanding his emotional responses to everything that goes on around him. If you have dveikus with that kind of a Chacham who's a Gavur Rabba, then you are now dipping in and connecting to the Klaf Lavan, and without the Klaf Lavan, the Osios Shchoros cannot exist. They're only in existence because they're connected to the Klaf Lavan. They're connected to the source of life, to the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we have to do. Every member of Klal Yisrael has to be kosher v'davuk im Chachmei HaTorah, so that the Osios HaTorah will have something to stand on. They have to be written and inscribed on a klaf lavan. And that means that every Jew has to be connected to a klaf lavan, to a Talmud Chacham who's on the Madrega of Gavur Rabba, who can expand the Torah. He's the chas of the Torah, is the recipient in a passive way. The Torah is now the kala. And this is what it means. We read last week, etc., etc. It means that if you have doubts about the halacha and you can't find any resolutions, because you're stuck in the osios haTorah, and the osios haTorah in this case as a finite expression of Torah is the tzimtzum of the knowledge of God into a finite body, and therefore you end up with a teiku because you don't know the answers to your questions, because you're limited in your understanding to the osios haTorah, the shachar al gabi lavan. And here you need a touch of infinity. You shall go up to Yerushalayim. You shall connect to the Chachamim who sit in the Lishkas Kagazis, serving the role as judges in the High Court of Israel. The Bezin HaGadol should be Yerushalayim that sat in the Lishkas Kagazis. And if you don't connect to that person, or to that group of people, then you are totally boxed into the Eish Shchora, which, as we said before, is finite. So without the Dveikus in the Eish Levana, without going up for Kamtol, Elisa, Al-Makam, go up, don't be lazy, connect yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu, connect yourself to the entire Bezin HaGadol of 71 judges, and now you can tap into the Eish Levana. And you desperately need the Eish Levana, because that's the Eish of infinity. That's the Eish that is the direct supernal light that comes from the divine being. Okay, Rav Osai, that's where we're going to take a break. Go ahead.
So my question is, why does it say nefesh rather than neshama?
Because the neshama is a little bit connected to the source of all the neshamas, which is the base gnozov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Shamayim. The nefesh is perhaps the expression of the neshama in the guf. So when we want to talk about man as a hybrid connection and a schizophrenia which Rav Sheshes is talking to his nefesh, then we use the word nefesh because that's the part of the soul that enters into the guf. And God put us on this world in order to take that soul and uplift it. The neshama may be crying because the neshama doesn't really want to be living within a human body, but the challenge that God places upon man is to take the neshama within the human body and elevate it through the body. That's really what Chassidus is all about. How to take the nefesh, which is the neshama inside the body, and uplift it such that it is now not on a lower level than it was before, but on a higher level. So that's what Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibartishva explains in the Kedushas HaLevi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in the future reveal to us the secrets of the Torah that are alluded to in the Klaf Lavan. And the Pasuk is telling us now, how do we get to that Madrega? How will we be Ola to the point in which we can get to the Klaf Lavan, which is above the Osios, and have access and understanding? They, the leaders of Israel, they have an Achiza, they have some sort of a connection and access to the Eish Levana. And they will reveal to us, Vidarashta, Vigidulcha, Sadovra, Estvar Mishpat, they will in the future reveal to us the Shor She'ator, the roots of the Torah, the Eish Levana, that white fire, which is reflected in the white cloth. Ushmarta la'asos k'chol asher yerucha. And that's the level that we want to achieve. And Chazal say on a pasuk in Dvarim, Gam kol choli v'chol makah shalokosu b'seif ha'Torah zos Yalem Hashem Olecha Ad Shisham Tcham Zu Misa Tzadikim. Where do we see Misa Tzadikim in this Pasuk? But the answer is that Tzadikim have an Achiza in the Eish Levana, which is above the Osios, the letters that are written in Eish Shchora on the Sefer Torah. And therefore the Lashon of the Pasuk, Gam Kol Choli V'Kol Maka Asher Lo Kasuv B'Sefer Torah Zos Zu Misa Tzadikim shachizosam beklaf halavan asher lo kasuv beSefer Torah hazos. The shoresh, the root of all chidushei Torah, all new insights that expand the Torah and embellish it, are in the Eish Levana. And those Chachmei Yisrael who reach the level of what we discussed earlier, the Gavra Rabba, they are personifications of the Eish Levana. And if we can connect to them, then we can have a connection to the Eish Levana, to be Megal, the Sodos of Torah, the secrets of the Torah. But that's something that's going to happen down the line at the end of days, Liyasid Lavo. But in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain power and authority to Chachmei Yisrael because of their great Yigiyah B'Torah, that they will be successful in climbing, ascending, all the way to the point of Dveikus B'Shorash HaTorah, meaning that Shorash HaTorah, the roots of the Torah before the Tzimtzum HaTorah, the infinite Torah of the Eish Levana. And as a result, they have the power to be Marchiv, to expand the Torah, to interpret the Osios HaTorah, and go beyond the Tzimtzum that we spoke about before. And the reason for that is because they, the Chachmei HaTorah, are the personifications of the connection to the Eish Levana. And with their Yigiyah and their Avodas Hashem, they were able to rise, ascend all the way up to the top, to be Dovek in the Shorash HaTorah. That Shorash HaTorah is the Torah before Tzimtzum. When Rava says in the Gemara at the end of Makis, that how much more so should we stand for a Talmud Chacham, meaning a Gavra Rabba, we're talking about someone who is connected through his Asogas HaTorah to the Loven Shabbat Torah, above the level of Osios Shchoros. And they could be Mashpia on the understanding of the Torah. They are the Chosan and the Torah is the Kal, as we discussed before. And if we have to stand up for the Sefer Torah, how much more so do we stand up for Gavra Rabba? Because the Gavra Rabba could reinterpret the Torah. The Torah says 40, and the interpretation is 39. That's the power of the Gavra Rabba, to illuminate, to absolutely impact on the Torah, because of the connection to the Eish Levana, which is above the Osios HaTorah. The Torah says, Arboim Yakenu, and the Chachamim came and they took down 1 to 39 Yakenu. So even though the Osios HaShchoros of the Torah, it says, Arboim Yakenu, nevertheless, the Chachamim came along and they said, look, we have an achiz of a different type of Eish, not the Eish of Osios Shchoros that produced the words Arboim Yakenu, but rather the Eish Levon above the Osios. And that's the understanding that there are 39 Malkus and not 40. And since we stand for a Sefer Torah, because we're Mechavi the Osios HaShchoros of the Torah, how much more so should we stand for Gavra Rabba, who has a connection to the Eish Levana, which is above the Osios HaTorah?